Thank you for listening to the Message Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We're here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. This December, we're making a difference through the Big Give. Find more information at everynationnyc.org/biggive or on our Instagram at everynationnyc. Enjoy the message.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. And just like Pastor Bruce and Pastor Nathan and this great team have said, you know, probably about 6 months ago, I was standing in front of 414, which is our office there on 51st and between 9th and 10th, I believe. And I was standing out front, and it's Pastor Ron and myself and Adam. And anybody ever have those come to Jesus meetings where it's just, you know, that God is getting ready to do something. And there was a lot of things going on in my life personally, thinking what the future holds. And I was sitting there and we were talking about some possibilities. And, you know, sometimes you can get comfortable, begin to relax a little bit. But the God that we serve is always calling you and I from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory. He's not a God of being comfortable. And so I'd gotten a little comfortable out in Jersey. You know, you can drive around. I can go up to Whole Foods and just kind of, you know, get what I want. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's comfortable. But I knew God was starting to tap me on the shoulder on some things. And how many of you know when God starts tapping you on the shoulder, sometimes you don't want to receive it? Who is that? Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you right now. But the one thing I learned about God is this. I can't box with him. His arms are too long and mine are too short. He's going to win every time. And I remember just saying, okay, Lord, if this is you, if this is really what you want, then you're going to have to show me. And God began to speak to me about New York. And I'm thinking, man, I just left Nashville. It was real comfortable. They're down south. I mean, everything's slow. Everybody's nice. And now you move me to Jersey, and then people are mean, and they don't want to talk to me. But I watched God do miracle after miracle after miracle because I had learned early on in my walk with God to just be, yes, Lord. See, what I've learned is either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll leave Nashville and I'll come to Jersey. And the assignment was this, just serve Adam. Adam is like a brother to me. Just serve Adam. Just go over there and help him do whatever it is God is calling him to do. And I've learned this also. There's a lot of nuggets today, so I hope you're taking notes. When you sow into another man's vision, God will give you your vision. And so I just begin to sow, and I begin to ride around in this car with Adam. And Adam would just say, man, I'm believing God for this. And I say, well, let's do it. I'm believing God for a building. I said, well, let's get it. I'm believing God for this city, this area of New Jersey. I said, well, let's do it. He said, I'm believing for Pennsylvania. And I said, well, let's go get it. And that's how we rolled. And I just began to encourage him on his vision. What is it that you want to see God do? What is it that you want God to do with you and through you? But I hadn't forgotten that God is tapping me on the shoulder as well. He's talking about New York. And so I hadn't said anything to anybody. It was just between me and God. And I would try to shake God a little bit about going this way. And he said, no. I'm not going to allow you to get comfortable. I'm going to stretch you a little bit. And I remember having to go to my close friends to talk about it. And, you know, it's amazing when you try to deny what God is speaking to you or calling you to do. Because, see, God is calling some of y'all into the greater things into 2019. See, there's a lot of prayers that have been prayed that hadn't been answered. And God is getting ready to open up those doors for you in 2019 to step into. But the question I have for you this morning is that, do you have the faith and the courage to step out on the water? And so God is dealing with me on this situation. And I'm talking to my close friends. And how many know God speaks three ways? God will speak to you through people. He'll speak to you through circumstances. And he'll speak to you through his word. And so I'm reading my Bible and something jumps off the page and it's resonating with me about New York. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. Then all of a sudden, you know, I'm bouncing some things off my close friends, people that I can just bear my soul with and tell them what's really going on, the needs, man, the fears, the doubts, the unbelief, man, even the worry, which we're going to talk about today, worrying about the future. How's all this going to work out if I do decide to take this step? You know, every time I told somebody something, they were right there to say, man, I'm with you every step of the way. I got your back. I was like, man, you weren't supposed to say that. You're supposed to tell me to stay where I'm at. And then came the circumstances, things that only God can do. People calling out of nowhere saying, man, I feel like God is saying this about you, not knowing the situation. I mean, no, that's kind of spooky. I didn't put anything on Instagram or Facebook. How do you know that? And so finally, I just had to say, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, then I'll do it. I'll do it. And as soon as I took a step in this direction to this team, all of a sudden doors open, and everything that I thought that I couldn't do, God began to do. And so this morning, what I want to talk about is worry. Worry. Why are we so worried about so many things? We're going to talk about this scripture verse in the book of Luke. And the one thing I've learned about this is that when I leave something, I got to take care of something. I told Pastor Adam, he asked me, he says, man, because I had to sit down with, that was a scary moment when I had to talk to Pastor Adam about leaving Jersey and coming here. But I said this, I'm finishing 2018 strong because I realized this, my handoff is just as important as my takeoff. My handoff, whatever I'm handing over, has to be perfect. I can't let any balls drop. I'm not going into 2019 with a limp. I'm going in full of faith, full of power, full of anointing that God is going to do. And so I'm handing things off. Everything that I oversaw, you got to get this today. Everything that I oversaw as a pastor there in New Jersey, I had to replace. See, people, you want to go here, but you got to take care of there first. And so I began to hand things off. We needed a youth minister. God, we need somebody to take over the youth. We have somebody, but man, this person is leaving. So now I got to step into that role for a season to make sure that this is okay. See, pride will keep you from going where God's called you to go. If I'm the associate, whatever pastor, but God has said, I need you to go down here and put on the youth minister and serve these children before you take off that way, you got to do it. So I went down, I took care of business just long enough until somebody came and said, we'll do this. Then it was the men's ministry. Somebody needs to take over the men. You know what? God brought somebody to take that role. And then we needed another brother, Pastor Brian Scott. You know what I'm talking about? Another black hand to stand next to Pastor Adam on stage. And you know what? God brought that man to come stand with him. So all the bases were covered. And now it's time to focus on coming to New York. Your handoff is just as important as your takeoff into your next season. This scripture verse that I want to talk to you about is in Luke 12, 22 through 31. I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. I'm going to unpack it, and then we're going to get into this thing. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry. That word worry can be intertwined with covet. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Verse 24, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will you, he who clothed you, of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father, your good Father, knows that you need them. And this is my money line. But seek his, and all these in the kingdom will be given to you as well. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after there was some quibbling between two men, brothers, over an inheritance. And the brothers were fighting about the future. If I don't get this money, I can't get there. And I need that. And Jesus, being wise, he says, man, let me explain something to you. First of all, why are you bringing him into your mess? I don't want to be up here in your mess. But you know what? Let me break it down for you. I'm going to show you what it's all about. And he begins to unpack this story about a man that was going to be wealthy, money. He's going to go and make all this money. And what he's going to do, he's going to store it in the barn. And then he's going to eat, drink, and be merry and live off the fat of the land. He's just going to do his thing. But Jesus said, you know what? That's not how you're called to live, because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. Matter of fact, you get ready to die tomorrow. That's kind of paraphrasing, but that's how it went down. And Jesus, what I love about him is that conference call he brings together, because after he unpacks that, he brings these men together and explains to them this. He begins to unpack this story and he breaks it down for them in a better area, what we just read. What you got to understand is Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Worry. God does not worry. God cares so much about you and I, and that's my first point I want to make, is God cares. God cares about the details of your life. And that word life is not the life that we're thinking about. Jesus came to give us a specific type of life, and that's life, and life more abundantly. Jesus wants you and I to have abundant life, Zoe life, life to the fullest, that when he comes and dwells inside of you by the Holy Spirit, it brings joy no matter what the world brings to you. And we have to understand that we don't need to worry about what's coming, life. You know, it's crazy when you look at Instagram and you look at Facebook and you look at all these different things. I need you to understand that all that stuff that you see on Instagram and Facebook and some of these places is all a facade. Because not everybody's life is all that. Because when you go behind the screen, when you go behind the situation, you see that it's all jacked up. It ain't what it's really supposed to be. You ever see this one celebrity was tweeting out, man, he showed this picture of this Bentley and this Learjet. And he's like, man, I'm out here balling. I'm dripping. I'm going to go do my thing. And all of a sudden, somebody saw the tweet and was like, wait a minute. This brother sitting in the front plane with me on Southwest takes a picture of him and tweets it out and says, man, this brother lying. That ain't the life he's living. It's all a facade. And Jesus is explaining to us that that ain't the life. I got a better life for you. And it's called life, and life more abundantly. That peace, that joy. No matter how high we get or how low we get, there's still that peace that God wants to bring to you and I. Zoe life. God cares. It says don't worry about food or don't worry about the body. These are important. Back then, man, they didn't know where they were going to eat. They didn't know how they were going to get clothes. And so the intensity of this scripture is sincere, because people ran after that stuff back then just like we do today. Food. Any foodies here? I am. Amen. We got vegan people. We got kosher people. We got, man, people that take all types of vitamins. And you got people like me. Man, I eat everything. Just invite me. Here I come. But Jesus, you know, he wanted to go a little bit deeper because he said, man, don't worry about the body. Don't worry about the internal. What you need to be focusing on is the spiritual man or the spiritual woman. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just as much as we want to take care of our bodies and eat this and drink that and do all these types of things, man, it's just more important that we take care of the spiritual man or the spiritual woman. You need to worry more about that person, the spirit man, the spirit woman, because as he or she goes, so goes your body. And we cannot worry about what's out there. We got to take care of the internal, because you can have a storm on the outside, but man, you got peace on the inside. Man, you'll be able to walk through that storm. And I want to say something to somebody this morning. I don't know who this is for, but that storm that was sent was not that storm to break you. The storm that was sent was to open up the path so that you could get where God was calling you to be. Stay the course. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Food. Jesus, when he was tired, I don't know if you remember, and the disciples had went away and they came back and said, are you not hungry? Jesus said, man, look, let me explain something. The meat that I eat is not the meat of the world. The meat that I eat is to do the will of my Father. That's the food that I like to eat. Because when you eat this food, the Bible says in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. There is nothing like doing the will of God. There's nothing that tastes better. There's nothing that looks better. There's nothing that feels better. And I can preach this with boldness because I thought if I could get this thing or be that, then I was going to be happy. That was going to satisfy my soul. But when I got that thing, when I became that, it did not satisfy me until I began to do what God called me to do, the will of God, a preacher of the gospel. See, you can't worry about the future. You can't worry about, man, what am I going to eat? God says, no, 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 let me take care of you by dealing with the spirit man, the spirit woman, this food that I'm talking about. Man, don't let that chase you and worry you and get you worn down. Focus on that. Let him meet you experientially. There's something about when God meets you and you taste and you see that it's good, because you have to go back and understand that when God met you there and you tasted it and you felt and you saw and you knew that that was good, that was the thing that was going to propel you further into your future. Because, see, right there was that mountain or valley experience. And then when you came out of it, how many of you know there was another mountain waiting on you? And if I can't remember this, it's going to be hard for me to get to that. The experience to taste and see that the Lord is good. External, the clothing. He says, man, what about Solomon? All these things about Solomon. And you know the thing about Solomon? Solomon was a bespoke type of man. Tom Ford wearing man. Yeah, he had it going on. Matter of fact, he had 600 wives, and so you know they had it going on too. They had on their Louis Vuitton shoes. Man, they had on their little Jimmy Choo shoes. They had like a nice little Coach purse. Man, they was doing it big. And you know what he said? Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, look, man, Solomon, in all his splendor, in all his wealth, and all the external things that you see, man, if I can take care of a flower and take care of him, how much more can I take care of you? See, God is a God of details. It says here in Psalms 139, 13, and 14, it says, for you are created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He knitted you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. He's in the details. Just like Solomon's clothes was fine, the material, the fabric. Yes, we got some fashionistas in here. We you know how it works. And all of a sudden, man, he said, I put all this together. Don't chase those things. Because if you know anything about Solomon, and Solomon, you got to understand, Solomon met with God first before he got the stuff. And when you meet with God first, see, he said, God, give me wisdom. And God answered back. He said, I'm going to give you the wisdom because you didn't ask me for the stuff. Stuff can't drive you. The food can't drive you. The clothing can't drive you. Don't worry about it. God's like, man, follow me first and all the other stuff will come behind. Y'all quiet this morning. Quiet. One of the best books I've ever read was by Bill Gates Sr. And it's called Showing Up for Life. And here's a man that everybody talks about, Bill Gates Jr. But man, how did Jr. become the way he is because of the influence of Sr. And see, Sr. taught Jr. this. You may not have all the answers, but all you need to do is just show up. Show up. If you just show up, good things happen. And he showed up, and then the money started coming. And his grandmother saw the wealth that this man had. And he said this. She whispered in his ear. She said, to whom much is given, much will be required. Sometimes we get so caught up in the chasing of things. Can I have this? I'm worrying about how am I going to take care of this and take care of that. But God has already taken care of that. He's already taken care of those things. You just have to put him first. The saying that I love to dwell on, it says, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. I don't know what the future holds, but if I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going all chips in, I'm putting all my weight on God. Because he holds the future. God cares. God's made you special. This morning, I need you to understand, just like Marquita was up here singing about the importance of this little old car and how it just brought her joy. You know, God is so God in the details that he was the one that took care of your electric bill. He takes care of your rent. He takes care of all these things when you put him first. Things begin to fall. Sometimes we get this thing that, does God really care about me? But you know what? How do I know that God cares? Is because of what Jesus did on the cross. I always can go back to that when the enemy starts telling me he doesn't care. He holds the future. My second point is this, is that worry. Worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. See, worry will wear you out. Worry brings things that I don't have any business having. How is this going to happen? All worry is, this woman told me one time, because I was worrying, man, if I go to New York, how's it going to work out? Man, if I go to New Jersey, how's this going to work out? She said, Pastor, look me square in the eye, just as sweet as all get out. And she said this, all worrying is, Pastor, is looking into the future and telling God he's not big enough. That's all worrying is looking into the future and telling God that he's not big enough to handle your problem. And I was like, man, wait a minute. I'm always up here preaching about a big God. I'm always talking about how he parted a sea. I'm always talking about how he turned the River Nile into blood. I'm always talking about how he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, man, their foot didn't swell and their clothes didn't wear out. Man, he brought water from the rocks and manna from heaven, which their forefathers didn't know. Man, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he can do it for them, surely he can do it for me. So why am I worrying? Why am I worrying? It's the same God. He hadn't changed. But what does change is our attitude towards him. See, attitude creates altitude. And see, if my attitude is right towards God, and I look at God as the Almighty, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, if I stand before him and I acknowledge him that way, man, God, I'm asking you to get into my business and relift this worry. The Bible says in Psalms 127, 1 through 2, I didn't give them this scripture verse, but it said, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain who build it. Who's building your house in 2019? Have you already sat down and started, I'm doing this, I'm going here, I'm doing all these things, but you haven't included the Lord in it? Has anybody prayed that prayer of faith? Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, what would you have me to do for you in 2019? How can I take my gifts and my talents and my time and my treasure to the building up of your house? See, that's a scary prayer, because when you pray that type of prayer, he's going to get in your business. And he's going to begin to mess some stuff up. That plan that you have, no. He's like, I got a better plan. That thing that you want, I got something better for you. But you got to be able to say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. That same scripture verse talks about sleep. Anybody sleepless this morning? Not being funny. I know, yeah, did you get sleep last night? But are you staying up worrying how I'm going to make it happen? Are you staying up late at night toiling and walking the floors and panicking and pulling out all your hair? That's why I don't have any, because I'm walking around just worrying about how is this going to work out. But, man, if I put it in the hands of the Lord and allow him to take care of what only he can take care of. See, I've learned a long time ago is I got to put the pressure on the promises of God. I got to put the pressure on the promises of God. See, what's his name? Nathan. I said, what's his name? My brother, Nathan. My son's name, Nathan. And so I'm sitting here, and he said a scripture verse, and I'm laughing because we hear the verse over and over in Malachi, and it talks about giving to the Lord. And nobody wants to talk about money. Every time we talk about, we get nervous. People start grabbing their pocketbooks. But hey, brother, ain't getting my money. It's his. It's his money. Just be free and give it to him. Some of the most generous and happy people I've ever met are the ones that are the most generous, giving people. But the Bible says this. It says to test me now in this. That's the only prayer in the Bible that says to test the Lord in this area. And I'm not, okay, I'm going to test you then. I'm going to see. And you know what? Every time I've done that, something's come back. So I've learned to, man, just keep my hands open. I got children. I got a 19-year-old, I got a 17-year-old, and I have a 14-year-old. Two girls and a boy. And I'm broke because of the other oldest. And when she calls me, I get scared. She's in college. And I'm telling you, when that phone rings, man, oh Jesus. You know, I break out in a sweat because it's money. I know what it's about. And I try to duck her. It don't work because she'll text. And, you know, I'm dumb enough to read the text. You know, when I read the text, I know you read the text because it says red underneath. I'm like, man. And so I get nervous when she's asking me but you know, our God's not that way. You can come to him and ask him for anything, man. He'll handle it. He'll take care of it. He cares about you. Rest in the promises of God. Don't be anxious about the future. It says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God in the peace of God. Say peace. That's what I'm after this morning. That's what I'm after in 2019 is peace. I want to lay my head down at night and know. I don't know the future, but I do know who holds the future. It's God. I'm resting. I'm not going to worry. Matthew 6:34, and I'm closing. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's okay to plan. It's okay to write it down. But you know what? You got to stay in the now, not on what's to come. Because sometimes what's to come never comes. Y'all like, man, what did he say? Whatever. What's to come? What? Sometimes you got to stay right where you are and not worry about where you're going. One day at a time. Because the grace is sufficient for that day. The stress comes when you start looking out there. Because you don't know what out there holds. See, the enemy is a great painter. He's a great artist. Any artists here? Painters, you know. And I look at paint, I'm like, that's just a white canvas. What are you there ain't nothing on there. Oh, I see this, like flowers. And, man, I see a river. I don't see none of that. But you know what? They start painting, and all of a sudden, something great happens. And so what I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't let the enemy paint your future. You paint it yourself. The last point I want to make is this. Keep moving forward. I need you to stand to your feet. Keep moving forward. See, the enemy's scheme is this. The enemy's scheme is to keep you where you are. See, fear paralyzes a man or a woman. Fear. Fear of the future. But what I know is this, is if I keep moving forward in Christ, as I go here, all of a sudden things start happening back here. He starts to add things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else to be added. My challenge to you in 2019 is to seek first the kingdom. Seek God with your talents. Seek God with your treasure. Seek God with your time. Seek God. And as you seek God and you put God first, I promise you, everything that you need will be added. Seek him. You know, you probably, like me, gave your best in 2018. You wrang yourself out just like a rag. There's nothing left. I poured everything I got out. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God is getting ready to fill you back up right now. Where you're weary, where you're tired, where there's doubt, where there's unbelief, where there's fear, where there's anxiety, this morning is going to leave. Because I've heard it said this, how I leave one thing is how I'm going to enter another. And I'm leaving 2018 full of faith, power, anointing, and I'm heading into 19 with great expectations. I'm letting the past go. Whatever somebody did to me in the past, let it go. Don't carry whatever happened in the past into 2019. Let it go. Get it dealt with today. Make the call, send the text, face to face, but don't drag it into 2019. 2019 will be your greatest year ever. I declared it and I decree it this morning. But I can't do it for you. You got to believe it for yourself. I began speaking this that day in 414. That man, 2019 is coming. And I'm going to finish 2018 strong. Saints, this is your moment as a church and as individuals to be great. When God tapped me on the shoulder to come here, I could have said no, Lord. But I said yes. And already I'm starting to see God do supernatural things. Lives are being changed. Marriages are being restored. People that wanted to quit, we got work to do. It's our time. Pastor Ron and his team, I'm looking out over this church and I see nothing but greatness. But greatness is a choice. You got to choose to believe. Will you raise your hands this morning so I can pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for every man and every woman that is here today. God, they're not here by coincidence, Lord. No, you brought them here to finish 2018 strong. It is the last Sunday of the year. And my prayer is that we would leave this Sunday full of faith, full of joy, and full of anointing heading into 2019. Now, God, I pray that people would just begin to thank you right now where they are. Begin to thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do. God, I'm praying right now that people begin to thank you that the bank account is getting ready to fill back up, that the savings account is getting ready to fill back up, that the relationship is getting better to be restored, that things are getting ready to turn back to good. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that fear, doubt, and unbelief be lifted this morning and faith would arise. God, that thing that you've dreamed, that thing that you believe for, God, I pray that you would do it. Now, God, my prayers, have your way. Have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven this morning. And all God's people said,
amen.